James 3, verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you, let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. There's a wisdom that comes from above, and there's a wisdom that comes from below. One is of righteousness, one is demonic. Go back a little bit. James 2. James 2, verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Faith without works is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. I've just had this idea flowing in my head lately, this idea of red flags. My wife and I, we lead a young adult small group, and a lot of them are in this stage of, you know, some of them are, they're dating, they're going on dates, they're trying to, you know, figure that area out of their life. It's a tough area. If you're going through that right now, hey, that's tough. It's tough out there, all right? Like, it's crazy right now. And so a lot of these couples will tell us stories sometimes, or a lot of these people in the young adult small group, they'll tell us stories of some of these dates they've been on, people they've met on the, I can't remember, they call them the apps, you know, the Bumble or the Hinge or whatever it is. And so they'll tell us some of these stories, and they're going on these dates, and they're like, man, I still remember the first time about a year ago, one of them was like, there were some major red flags. And so they had some major red flags about some of these dates they would go on. And it's just kind of been in my mind, like, there are red flags spiritually that we ignore all the time. Like, in the dating world, people have these red flags, and they don't ignore them. In fact, they'll cut it off. If it's like, and I've heard some of these red flags, I'm like, is that really a big deal? They wear socks with sandals? That's a red flag? Like, Andrew does that all the time. Like, I don't know. Like, some of the red flags, it's just ridiculous. But it's like, hey, if I see that red flag, I'm out. I'm like, seems like a really good person. Like, I think you should probably keep, you know, dating them. Like, they love Jesus and all this. It's like, well, socks with sandals. That was my red flag. That's not it, all right? Like, but they have it. Like, they're so set sometimes. And sometimes I think, like, oh, yeah, I would never have done that. But I look back and I'm like, oh, yeah, I broke it off with a lot of, like, yeah, I had a lot of relationships where it was, like, one little thing. And that was a red flag. And it's like, and I just, like, that was it for me. And so we all have these little things that we just cut things off and we're like, nope, that's a red flag for me. But spiritually, there are red flags that we completely ignore. We completely ignore them. In fact, we don't even just ignore them. We try to see just how close to the red flags we can get. Go to Proverbs 7. There's going to be a lot of scripture. We put a lot of scripture up here, and we try to help people out. But if you've been here for very long, you know how I preach. And sometimes when the Holy Spirit's just dropping stuff on me, I'm jumping all over, and I'm going to where he's telling me to go. And so I'm sorry. That's why you have a Bible ready all the time. Have your phone, all that. Be ready to go. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 6. In my Bible, I don't know what yours says, but I got this nice little, like, in bold heading here for this section in Proverbs. Here's what it says. The crafty harlot. All right? If you need to look up the word harlot, go ahead, Google that really quick. She's crafty. You want to watch out for her, okay? Chapter 7, verse 6. For at the window of my house, I looked through my lattice and saw among the simple. I perceived among the youths a young man devoid of understanding, passing along the street near her corner. He knows what corner he's drawing near. He's not ignorant to it. He knows exactly what corner he's going near. And he took the path to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And there a woman met him with the attire of a harlot and a crafty heart. She was loud and rebellious. Her feet would not stay at home. At times she was outside, at times in the open square, lurking at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him with an impudent face. She said to him, I have peace offerings with me. When it says she caught him, she didn't have to try very hard. All right? You know what I'm saying? Like, he knew what he was doing. He knew exactly what he was doing. He knew where he was going. He knew the place where he was walking near. He saw all the red flags and he didn't care. He walked near and then he took the path. The red flags were obvious. He knew he should stay away from this place. But how many times have we done the exact same thing? How many times in our walk have we said, I know I shouldn't go near there, but I just want to see what's going on over there. I just kind of want to go over there. I just want to check it out. I want to see. And then somewhere along the way, in Christian circles, there was some theologian along the way who started to say, oh, you know what? The best way to reach the culture is to just kind of morph and look more and more like the culture. If we just become more like the world, then we can kind of blend in with the world. And if we can blend in with the world, then we can reach the world. You know what we did? We got so near to the world that we don't look any different than the world anymore. We saw the red flags, but we ignored them. And we even did it. We even did it and tried to excuse it and say, no, 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 we're doing ministry. We're doing mission work. I got to go to the club on Friday. I got to reach people. I've never been to a club, but you know. It doesn't matter. Wherever you, when you get that thought in your head of where the red flags are, where it's going on, and you know, like, you shouldn't be in that place, but you just start, I just kind of want to see what's going on. And then you start to justify it, and you start to say, I'm going to go do ministry there. I'm going to go do it. It's like, no. You're just trying to see how close you can get. And before you know it, you're walking that same path. And you think that you're walking in the right direction because at one time you were. At one time you were going the right direction. At one time you knew exactly what Jesus had told you. You heard him. He spoke to you. The Holy Spirit moved in your life. And you said, I know he is who the Bible says he is. I know he's real. I felt him. I've heard him speak. He's moved in my life. And he changed you. I know this because your story is my story. It's all of our stories. We've all had those moments where we met the King. And he came into our life, and it didn't matter what anybody else could say in that moment. We knew he was real. We knew he had spoken. We knew he had called us home. We knew he had called us back into his family. But then somewhere along the way, we started to look back out at the world, and we started to say, I did kind of like some of that. Maybe I can have both. Maybe I can have Jesus and I can have the world. Maybe I can worship Jesus on Sunday and I can have the world Monday through Saturday. But before you know it, what happens? You get near and near and near, and before you know it, you're walking a different path and you're not on the same path anymore that he called you to walk. How many times, when confronted with our sin, and it may have been a friend, it may have been a family member, it may have been somebody that just cares about you and loves you, but they brought something up and they brought something to your attention and they said, hey, this looks like a red flag. It looks like you're kind of drifting. It looks like, man, you're not chasing after the Lord. You're not running with him. You're not going in the same direction that he called you to. How many times when confronted in that moment, Or how many times when you come into a church on a Sunday, but you live how you want Monday through Saturday and your life hasn't changed and it doesn't look any different. And when confronted in that moment, you say, hey, I believe. Good, even the demons believe and shudder. That's a red flag. If you just keep saying that over and over when you're confronted with your sin, when you're confronted with your actions, with every choice you keep making, and you just keep saying, hey, I believe, that's a red flag. That's a check engine light. You need to check your engine. You need to check your heart. Because if you just keep justifying it, let me tell you something. This is a wake-up moment right here, right now for somebody. Your eyes are getting open. You're saying, that's me. Anytime I've been confronted, anytime I felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit, I'm not talking about shame or guilt. I'm talking about conviction. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He convicts us. If you get convicted, but then instead you exchange conviction for offense and you say, hey, when somebody, maybe a brother or a sister or a mom or dad has brought something up to you, or you saw a social media post and you got all offended and hurt, maybe what you did was you traded offense for conviction. And you said, I don't like that. I'm offended by that. Who are you to say that to me? Who are you to speak like that to me? We've traded offense for conviction because offense feels good. Offense places us above others. We say, who are you to say that to me? I believe. I gave my life to Jesus one time. Even the demons believe and shudder. It's a red flag if that's what you're saying to justify how you're living. Because what does Jesus say? If you love me, obey my commandments. We're not saved by obedience. We walk in obedience because he first loved us. We walk in obedience because he's good, because he's kind, because his ways are better than the path of the crafty harlot. His ways are better than trying to see how close to the path of the world we can walk, how much we can blend in. The more we begin to walk in his path and his ways, we begin to see the blessing of the Lord. We begin to see favor open up on our lives. What does he do? Nate talked about it during the offering meditation. What does he do? He rebukes the devourer. What's the devil want to do? He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to devour. He wants to devour every area of your life. And so if it feels like that right now for you and it feels like there's no protection, check your life. Check your heart. Are you walking in obedience to his commands? Because obedience is not about salvation. It's already been bought and paid for by the blood. We sang about the blood. Our robes, they're dipped in the blood. They're covered. They're white as snow when we stand before the judge. But we're missing out on life to the full. Right here and right now. Life walking in everything he's commanded us, because his commandments, they're a blessing, not a burden. And as you begin to walk in him, you begin to see there's a blessing. When you begin to learn to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit in your life, you'll see the difference. You're running. And your life looks different. Everybody on that other path, all of a sudden, they're not looking at the people blended in with them. They're not looking at the people that are trying to say, oh, we're a Christian, but we're just like you. They're not looking there because they're just as lost as they are. They're walking in the darkness. And all these Christians, I'm going to say Christians in quotes. It ain't real. Because their lives look exactly the same, and they're walking just as lost as the people that they're walking alongside, but they're saying something else. It's hypocrisy. It's hypocrisy. Go back to James. What does James say? What's true wisdom look like? Verse 17, chapter 3, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. You're saying you believe something, but your life says different. Now, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. We talk about this one a lot. Sometimes we just stay quiet and we don't confront our brother or our sister or our spouse or what, whoever it is that we feel the Holy Spirit saying, hey, you need to say something because iron sharpens iron, and you got to start helping to sharpen your brother, sharpen your sister, because they're walking down a different path. They're not walking on the same path as you. And so we have these moments like this, and then we think, well, Jesus, he just kind of kept the peace. And we justify that. We say, Jesus was just a peacekeeper. He would just stay quiet. No. Jesus rattled cages. Jesus was not a peacekeeper. He was a peacemaker. And so when you begin to sow God's word into the life of others, first of all, let him change you. Make sure you're looking inward before you look outward. But if he gives you something, if he's telling you, if he's giving you a nudge, hey, you need to have a conversation with this brother, this sister, this friend, whoever, then you need to be obedient to have that conversation and not say, well, I just need to keep the peace. No. Jesus was a peacemaker. When you make something, it's tough. It's difficult. It means having hard conversations, having those uncomfortable conversations that nobody really wants to have. That's one of the things we talk about, that in emotionally healthy spirituality. If you're new to the church, I'm telling you, that's track one. That's step one. If you want to start getting on the right track with your life, if you want your life to change and look radically different in 8 weeks, take emotionally healthy spirituality, because your life is going to flip upside down. There's going to be things that you never even thought of, that you never dealt with, that you never realized that the Holy Spirit wants to change and transform and set you free from, because that's what he does. He sets his people free. He delivers them from bondage. Let him set you free. Stop walking in pride. Once again, look at the wisdom from above. Willing to yield. Not too prideful to say yes to the Lord. When the Lord convicts you, when he challenges you, when he's confronting you, be willing to yield to him, because he's a good teacher. He knows more. The wisdom that does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. Somewhere along the way, once again, there were some theologians out there that thought, man, I'm so smart. We live in this modern society now. Like, we're not a spiritual people. We're a scientific people. And so we began to ignore the spiritual world. In fact, we began to excuse it and write it off. And say, no, these people in the first century, they were just simple. They didn't really understand the world. No. All scripture is God-breathed. All scripture is God-breathed. And we see throughout scripture that there is light and there is darkness. There are angels and there are demons. There is a devil that wants you dead and in hell, locked for eternity with him. And every demon underneath him, that is their goal and that is their desire, because the battle's already lost. And when you know you've lost the battle, you just try to take everything you can from the Father. And so they want to take his sons and his daughters with them away from the Father, because they know the Father's heart. The Father loves his sons and daughters, and he wants them in eternity with him. That's God's desire. That's why he sent Jesus for us. So that's what the devil does. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And it's a battle in the mind. This wisdom, it does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there, but the wisdom that is from above is pure. How do you begin to discern this? 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. Some people, over the revival, we've been around about 3.5 years now. Over the 3.5 years, I've had so many people come up to me at different times. Say, you talk a lot about demons. You talk a lot about the devil. Well, look at Scripture. They talk a lot about the enemy. What does Paul say? 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. If we're ignorant of how the devil is working and how he is scheming against us, what's he going to do? He's going to take advantage of us. Nobody's going to get taken advantage of in this house. If you're planted in this house, you're going to know how the devil works, and you're going to see him coming a mile away, and you're going to laugh when he attacks, because you're going to know it doesn't touch me, because I walk with the King and I'm protected and the devil's under my feet. You walk in authority. You walk in authority. Give him a hand, because he loves you too much to leave you ignorant. That's like a father watching a son make stupid mistakes and saying, well, sorry. No. What's a good father do? A good father teaches. A good father shows his son. A good father shows his daughter how to walk in wisdom so that you will not be ignorant, so you won't be taken down by the attacks of the enemy. Matthew 10, verse 16, I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. There's wolves, there's demons. They want you dead, they want you buried, they want you deceived. Therefore, be as shrewd or as wise as snakes and innocent as doves. Every story we've talked about, if you're new, man, I'm so glad you're here. Go back and watch some of these sermons we've been talking about. We've been talking about the pit, what it looks like when you're in the pit. Every story we've talked about this past month and a half, we see red flags. There's red flags in the story of Joseph. There's red flags in the story of Jeremiah. There's red flags in the story of Hannah, Eli, and his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. There is red flags in the story of Hezekiah. Red flags are signs of demons at work. All throughout Scripture, we see red flags that warn us, that teach us, that show us where demonic activity is happening. Demonic control, manipulation, demonic thoughts and behaviors. The church needs deliverance. We need freedom. Too many of us, we get saved, but we don't get delivered. You can be saved, you can be a Christian, but you're not delivered from demonic thoughts or demonic activity in your life because you didn't even realize it was going on. You didn't even realize that something had happened in your life where you had opened up a door to the devil. In Scripture, when Jesus, some of you, you're like, if it doesn't come from Jesus, then I don't care. If it's not in the red letters, guess what? All of Scripture is God-breathed. He is the Word. So all of it is from Him. But some people, they just need to hear it from Jesus. Let me tell you something. Jesus talks about our bodies being a temple, being a house. And He says, what do these demons want? They want to get a foothold, a living place within you. They want to live in that house. The Holy Spirit desires to dwell within you. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives within you. When you accept Christ, when you invite Him in, you become a temple. You become a house for Him. But the devil wants a place to live there also. Anger, bitterness, rage, it gives the devil a foothold. Unforgiveness, it gives the devil a foothold into your house to demonic activity. And you're not even aware of it. Some of you, you just excuse it away because you don't believe in the spiritual world. You just kind of say, oh, no, I'm just a mad person. I'm just an angry person. I just struggle with this. It's just who I am. I was born this way. You weren't born that way. We were all born with a proclivity to sin, but Jesus died and resurrected so we can be set free and we can walk in freedom. So stop saying it and stop excusing it away and just say, well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. No. You're a son saved by the King, and He wants you to walk in freedom and fullness. He wants that for your life today. You can walk out of here free. Don't leave today if you're in bondage without getting free. He wants to free you today. Our ministry team, they're going to be up here. Worship team's going to be playing. Worship team's going to be up here. If you need prayer for healing, for deliverance, for salvation, if you want to give your life to Jesus today, you can do that. Don't leave this place today if you feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit saying, this word is for you. I brought you here today to hear this word. It's for you. Church needs deliverance. We've neutered the church. We've made it completely powerless because we moved deliverance and healing from the equation and we said salvation's all we need. But Jesus came to save, heal, and deliver. We see all 3 throughout his ministry and throughout the apostles' ministry. But somewhere between then and now, we moved further and further from the model Jesus showed us and taught his disciples because of doubt. Doubt crept in. Doubt got a foothold. Skepticism took the lead. And we said, hey, this is all we can do. This is the best we can offer. No, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He still saves. He still heals. He still delivers. And that's what he's going to do for you today. I promise you. I'm beginning to speak it. Trust me. I felt the doubt in the room today. I felt it in my spirit. He'll show me things that people are feeling in the room. And I just felt doubt today. As we were worshiping, I felt so much doubt during worship. And I was like, God, what's going on? Because I was here at 8 a.m. this morning when the worship team began to warm up. And I started walking through the room and I started hearing this song. And I felt the power of the Holy Spirit moving in the room. And I mean, me and Pastor Stone, we were walking through here. We were praying. We were worshiping. We were getting ready for the morning. And I felt, man, there's power in the room today. He's showing up. But in worship, when everybody came in, all I felt was doubt creeping in. And he said, son, that's what people are feeling today. Speak life to him. He loves you. He loves you so much, and he can still do it. His arm is not short. His arm is strong. He still does it. And so that thing you've been doubting, that thing you haven't been believing for, I just want to speak that over you today. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. If it's from him, if he gave you that desire, if it matches up with his word, he's going to do it. He delivers. Stay faithful, stay strong, because right now, what are we doing? We're coming into the fall. What's the fall? The fall is a harvest season. What's the devil wants to do? He wants to steal the harvest. There's an incredible harvest coming. We're going to see so many people saved, healed, and delivered. He wants you to stop short, though. He wants you to believe it's for everyone else, but it's not for me. No, it's for you. It's for you. Don't stop short. Don't let the devil steal what God's about to do in your life. It's coming. It's coming. Now faith is rising. I feel it. I can feel it right now. There's some of you in here. You came in doubtful. You're leaving hopeful. You're leaving hopeful today. Worship team, you can come up and as we get ready to close it out. How do we know? How do we know? Who are we hearing? We're three parts. We're body, we're soul, we're spirit. Your soul, that's where your will is, your mind is, your emotions, your spirit. When you give your life to Jesus and you invite the Holy Spirit in, your spirit comes and becomes one and renews your spirit within you. And so now all of a sudden you have the mind of Christ living in you. And so you'll be walking along and you'll see something. A decision will come up and you'll know the right thing to do. But you'll also kind of know the thing that you want to do in your flesh, your body, or you'll know the thing that you kind of feel like doing. Sometimes there's things that God tells us to do that we don't feel like doing. That's your soul and your spirit fighting. Your mind, your will, your emotions, they're fighting. When you come into worship, you don't feel like raising your hands. You may not feel like jumping up and down. You may not feel like clapping your hands, but he's worthy and you know the truth of who he is, who his word says he is, and what he's done and what he's going to continue to do. And so you make a choice to listen to your spirit and say, I'm going to clap, I'm going to raise my hands, I'm going to praise him because he's worthy, even when I don't feel like it. Even when I don't want to in my flesh or in my soul, I'm going to praise him. Check the fruit, because there's other spirits, there's unclean spirits that want to have a voice in your life. And some of you, you're still kind of struggling with that. Let me explain it like this. These unclean spirits, they come in and they whisper lies to you all the time. If you've ever had a thought of suicide or harming yourself, that was not from you. That's not who you are. You are not suicidal. In fact, I rebuke that right now in the name of Jesus. If somebody spoke that over you, you're not. An unclean spirit, a devil, a demon came and whispered to you, you should kill yourself. Nobody wants you here. You don't matter. That's a lie from the pit of hell, because you do matter. You matter so much that God looked at his son Jesus and he said, I need you to go and die for my kids. I know you're my son, but I want each and every one of these kids to spend eternity with us. Because they matter. That was a lie from the devil. There's lies like that all the time, and you just think, oh, it's my own brain. It's just who I am. No, no, no. You're going to begin to discern when the devil is creeping up and trying to lie into your life. What's he wants you to do? He wants you to believe it comes from you. He wants you to believe he doesn't exist, that he's not there. Because if you do, if you believe that, if you think, oh, I'm too smart to believe in devils or demons or spirits, I'm above that. We live in a world of science. There's things that science cannot explain. And the spiritual world is one of them. And think about it. What's the best way for an enemy to attack? If you don't even know he's there. If you don't even know you're being attacked, and you just begin to give into his lies, and you take ownership of them, and you make that your identity, and you begin to walk in his deception and make it your own and make it your life. You're walking out of here today with a new level of discernment. When the enemy comes at you this week, you're going to see him coming a mile away, and you're going to say, no, 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 devil, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, because I know who I am. I'm a son in the Father's house. I'm giving my life to Jesus. I'm recommitting today to walk with him. I don't want to walk near the world anymore. I don't want to walk near the red flags anymore. I want to run from the world. I want to hate what he hates, and I want to love what he loves. I want to love the things of God today. Galatians 5, 22 through 23. Would you stand up as we read this? Check the fruit. If you're trying to discern what spirit is speaking into your life, first begin by this. Say, Jesus, I just want you to be my king. I want you to be my savior. Invite him in today. If you want somebody to pray that prayer with you, you can come forward to our ministry team. They're going to be up here. We'll walk you through that. You can pray and invite him in today. And say, Holy Spirit, please come and begin to teach me to walk in your ways, to love what you love and to hate what you hate. And as he does, here's how you're going to discern whether it's his voice or an unclean spirit. Look at the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 through 23. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. You're going to begin to see these things. You're going to notice these things. You're going to test the spirits. When a different spirit comes at you, you're going to ask yourself, is that loving? Is that kind? Is that peaceful? When you know you have a decision to make, you're going to check it with the fruit of the Spirit. You're going to say, Holy Spirit, teach me, show me. And if it doesn't line up with his fruit, you know it's not from him. You know it's a lie from the devil. Check the fruit. Check the fruit and begin to walk in a new level of wisdom and discernment today. Hey, let's pray. We're going to worship. And like I said, if you need prayer today, if you need to make a decision today, if you want to say, I'm done walking on the road I've been walking on, Lord, I want to walk on your road. Come forward. You can do that today during this time. Father God, we just thank you. We just praise you. We pray in the Son's name. We pray in the name of Jesus. We praise you that he gave us access. Holy Spirit, I just pray that you're moving right now. That you're moving in our hearts and our minds. The church, if you want to receive that new level of discernment today, I feel him saying, just put your hands out like you're about to catch something. Put your hands out like you want to receive something. Father God, I just ask that you would just drop a new level of discernment onto us today. That we would just feel oil running down our heads. That we'd feel the presence and fire of your Spirit moving and working within us. I just feel doubt leaving in the room. And that we would begin to speak it, because the power of life and death is in the tongue. And that we would just begin to speak faith over our lives, over our family, over our friends, over our relationships. that we would walk in a new level of freedom as we step out of here today. Jesus, in your holy name we pray. Amen. Now let's worship him.